I'll be fine. I signed a few things tonight, but I'm not going to try to play things.
What is powerful?
We had to start a new meeting.
I know.
Yeah, it should be back at some point. But this is the way. So, Tara, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. All right.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. All right. All right. I have no gavel, so I'd like to call the July 5th, 2023 Newtown Borough work session to order. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of America,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Okay. There was an executive session immediately preceding the meeting for two topics. One was personnel, and the other was the Steepleview conditional use application. Do we have any public to be heard?
Doesn't look like it.
No, okay. All right, on to Michelle.
Because
you can't see.
Did you move it on to me, Tara?
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I wasn't quite sure. Yep. All right, so first topic is the vegetated swale stormwater project at 210 South Chancellor Street. Next week, we are going to be asking that council approve the first payment to the contractor in the amount of $116,707.50. If there's no questions, then the second item.
If I may, I wanted to speak to that, Tara.
I'm sorry, about pay estimate number one.
Or yes. The change order.
The change order.
The change order is coming up next. So Michelle will introduce it and then,
Second item is change order number two for the vegetated swale project. During construction and meetings with the homeowners, let me back up a little bit. This vegetated swale project, just to remind everybody, is required for the borough to reduce the amount of sediment going to the Newtown Creek. The borough had tried before my time, during my time, to find an area to get this sediment reduction that is required by the PADEP during the permit period. The sellers were generous enough to say that the borough could use their existing drainage ditch on their property to do a project that is going to reduce the amount of sediment for the borough. The borough is going to take over maintenance of this vegetative swale, we're calling it, by adding plantings. There was discussion between the sellers and between our project manager. During construction, the sellers, in my words, said, hold up, this is not what we thought this project was going to look like. The riprap is too large. I believe they said it looks like Route 95. We thought that it's going to be hard for the borough to maintain this. We'd like to do something a little bit different. The borough stopped at the downstream end of their property before their property line, and we did that because it was under the drip line of a tree. And the sellers did not like any of those things I've just mentioned. I had a meeting with the sellers. Our construction manager had a meeting with the sellers. Tara was there. Contractor was there. At that point, we came up with the change order that was before you. You all looked at, I believe, within the last week. Mr. Sellers, who's here tonight, had a chance to review the change order. And the change order is in the amount of $5,670. He had a chance to review it and believes that more should be done. So we would like to, we would like the sellers to have the property that they had before in some manner with a vegetated swale. We want the borough to be able to reduce the amount of sediment. So I know you reviewed this change order, but I'm going to ask council to approve this change order next week at an amount not to exceed $10,000 so that we could work with the sellers to get the additional items that Mr. Sellers mentioned in an email to council president regarding mulching and using core logs to keep the mulch around all the plants and to add some additional mulch at the outlet end of the pipe. So that's what my change to the change order is. Tara, do you have anything to add?
To make it clear that that last piece, the mulch was something that was discussed on the site because right now there are plantings and on the plan, there is like the line for the edge of it and then the little circles for the various plants and the lists of the plantings at the edge. And then you've got grasses within the dish itself. And all of this creates a vegetated swale, which helps reduce the sediment as the water flows through. There was an understanding from on the seller's part as to what this would look like. It is right up the, especially one end, like in their front yard. And there's plants, but then there's the grasses coming up into it. And eventually the plants, which are perennials, will grow and fill in the spaces and it will be sort of, you know, more like a loose garden kind of look. But right now the grass is growing up. The concern was now it looks more just very messy with grasses right in it and tiny little plants with all the grasses growing around right up onto the edge of their, you know, edge of the easement where they mow, and asked that it, to begin with, we mulch that area so it's more like a bed, give the plants time to grow. And then, you know, later on, we don't need to mulch anymore once they've filled themselves in. And yeah, if the occasional little grass grows in there of the tall grasses, this is not lawn grasses, these are very tall, several feet grasses go in, then, you know, that's, it doesn't show as much because you've got the bigger bushes. So this is something that had been talked about, but did not make the change order that was sent to council. And, you know, we'd like to respect the fact that the sellers have been accommodating and to go ahead and do something to help improve the look of the bed for them as it grows in. So are there any questions from council on what has been presented? I know there's a lot of information here.
I had the opportunity to visit the property. This is a substantial project. It's not just a small area the size of this room, it's probably five times the length of this room, and it dramatically affects the property. And there are some magnificent trees on this property that adjoin the swale. And so considering we're solving a multitude of problems in there, including flooding, because we've had backup of the creek into the intersection of Chancellor and Penn, and people have lost cars in that area. So one, I want to emphasize the importance of the project. Two, the substantial cooperation between everybody. And I think that's been complimentary. But now we just have to finish, figure out how to finish this project to one, make it operative, two, make it attractive, consistent with all the beautiful properties we have, not only in that area, but throughout, as demonstrated by our garden tour. Yes. So we need to finish this and do it right. That's my. So I'd like to hear from Mr. Sellers.
If I remember correctly, this gets our quota for like the next 4 or 5 years of sediment that we need to remove, right?
We are currently within the existing permit period, which lasts 5 years. So it'll meet this permit period and a lot of the next permit period.
Because of the size of the project.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a benefit because, you know, you think should be.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tara, can I have Mr. Sellers speak?
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Go ahead, Mr. Sellers.
Call me Mike.
Mike.
So it's true. We are very happy to help the borough with the MS 4 points, but also ourselves and our neighbors because of the chronic flooding, which Bob just alluded to going back some years, was so severe it actually took some cars. And for those who have been around here long enough, you may have seen pictures of the canoes in the intersection of Penn and South Chancellor. So it's been a severe problem. And I think it's been more severe with what we call the microburst. You know, a day of steady rain is one thing. In a microburst of an hour or half an hour, it can be almost catastrophic in our experience. So this is a great project. We're happy to help for those two reasons. But it is still our front yard. It is, to answer someone's question, 300 feet in length or thereabouts. So 5 times as reminder what this is, but it's big. 300 feet is the length we're talking about. A number of things have come up, and I've not been to council in the past, but here tonight because of kind of the end game of this. Tara has been gracious with her time. She's been out several times, more than a couple hours on each occasion, to see things as they're moving along, to be apprised of what issues we saw, and ultimately, I think, to be the council representative then for purposes of understanding the issues. So, with that, I don't think there's anything that will cause us to glaze eyes over more than a change of it. But I'm going to ask you to go to that. If I could just walk through it. Anybody got a copy? So first off, this is characterized as the change on behalf of the homeowners. We didn't request these. These are things we pointed out. And with that, I just want to make a record. It's not our request. The things we shared with the borough, we pointed them out to the borough. You go to task number 4. You grade and stabilize the south end of the property. As Michelle just mentioned, the improvements to the swale, including the mat, stop at this point about 30 feet. Am I right, Michelle?
Pretty much. 30,
okay. From the end of the property. When we met with CKS, it was very clear there was no reason not to extend it to the end of the property. When the contractors actually installed the matting, on that particular day, they stopped there. We said, why are you stopping them? He said, that's what the plans call for. We said, no, suppose you go to the end of the property, there's no reason not to. So at that point, unfortunately, the contractor's equipment couldn't get to that unfinished part. So I characterize it as the municipality starting to pave the third road, and you get to 30 feet from the end of the stop. That's what it looks like. Bob, you're out there, you saw it's unfinished. Now, it's true what Michelle just said about the explanation of drip line, but we had 2 giant ash trees with gigantic drip lines. And this project is within a couple of feet of each of their trunks. Now, the project is not disturbing this room, but the point is it's well within the drip line. So we pointed out number 4 about the unfinished south end to the borough. So that is what it is right now. The contractor can't go back in and finish it the way it should have been done in the first place. We understand. So what is being described here as task 4, that's what we're left with. But that, again, that's not our request. That is what we were told, I think the borough was told too, it was going to be done. So task number four, we're not saying do anything other than what's here, but I want you to understand and accept the explanation of why it's undone. That's what happened. Task number three here is to remove and reinstall the plants. And Tara just spoke with us a little bit. This has the installation, the reinstallation of 9 shrubs at locations determined by the client. I'm going to try and just change a little description of what she just gave about what the ultimate goal here is. The ultimate goal is to have these plants involved. If you saw this, hopefully you can envision this.
I have pictures.
Okay. So the ultimate goal is to, on both sides, have plants. They're supposed to absorb the water. They're supposed to also be visually attractive. But we were told in the original process here, and the borough certainly was told, these would be in some sort of bed. So as they matured, they wouldn't require a lot of maintenance. As they are installed, they're spread out. They're not in single beds. So once again, as we saw these plants being put in, we said, wait a minute, these are too spread out. Where are the beds? Well, there are no beds. So the second kind of broader concern is on task number three, where are the beds? We don't particularly want to move 9 shrubs, especially in the summertime, but it's in our shared interest, borough and the owners, to have beds. As they mature, they're going to require very little maintenance. As this sits today, they're going to require a lot of maintenance, especially with the grasses coming up the carriage drive. So we have a shared interest there in having a plan for beds that would make sure the grasses stay out and these plants are allowed to mature and ultimately be very little maintenance. The borough is responsible for maintenance in the future, as Tara just said. So we're pointing out, as homeowner, we don't want to be calling you every 2 weeks saying it's out of control. These beds should be planned, installed, and allowed to, and there's plants allowed to mature without, you know, being wild. So on task number three, shall remove and reinstall a maximum 9 shrubs? No, we don't want that to be done. There are three, I think, that have to be because they're so far removed from the other ones. Just create some beds. Create something that will require minimum maintenance in the future. And that's what Tara was speaking to. So that's task number three. And I'll point out that we had not seen this proposal until this weekend. So we had a chance to see it. Tara sent it to us and reviewed it and looked at it. And that's why I'm here tonight. So task number two, trying to move along. Remove and reinstall the riprap at the elbow. All right, so if you haven't seen, there's a big pipe. It's probably 4.5-5 feet. Am I right, Michelle?
Something similar to that. I don't know exactly.
It's a big pipe.
Diameter or length?
Diameter.
Yeah. Coming out of those rocks.
Yes. Yeah.
So, as you probably recall, as some do, basically has to accommodate water from about 2/3 of the borough, beginning of Washington Village, which has no facilities. Parts of Washington Village, down, crosses Washington Avenue, comes down, all goes through that, plus all the drainage from Penn Street and Lincoln. So it's a big pipe. When we saw the work begun on the immediate area of that big pipe, we certainly understood there would be a need for rocks. Because we had rocks installed there 20 years ago. But what was installed there, what are called R6 sized rocks. R6 are this big. And some of these are 3 feet across. So on that particular day, we said to the contractor and the site person for CKS, wait a minute, this looks like I-95. You're putting this in? Well, that's what the plans call for R6. The problem with this particular task as it's called in the change order is no one ever sat down and said, listen, we're going to put rock back there, but here's what we're going to put back there. And this is a big rock. I think at that point we would have had a discussion to say, what can we do about this? Because it looks like you're sitting on 95 looking down the bank. It is just huge. So that was a problem. Work stopped with that as well. So in task number two, remove and reinstall riprap at the outlet pipe. We did come up with a solution, but it's not what's stated here. I'm going to tell you what I believe it to be. The show is not at this meeting on June 15th. What we said to contractor and to CKS was simply this. We know you have to have this R6 stuff there because we know what that flow is coming to that pipe. We get that. What we don't want that is to be something you can easily see from our yard. We don't want to be, that to be visible like a facility on 95. So what we came up with was a plan to install this giant R6 in the bottom and on the sides up to a certain point. And then beyond that point, up to the top of the squeal, we would use smaller rocks, what are called R4s and R5s. We did not say that we did not request dirt for 1/3, for 3 feet up to the top. Why? Because the water is going to just tear down. We agree. We need rock up to the top. We had two microbursts a week ago. I can tell you that exact area we saw erode. That's how much water it was. So you put 3 feet of dirt there, the current is going to be coming out at some point in the fall to put back a couple tons of dirt because there's no rock there. So I'm not an engineer, but logically that doesn't make sense. And the point here is that we did not suggest 3 feet of dirt from the where the R6 ends up to the top. We agree. It's just we've seen this in actual storms. It's not going to do it. So I think something was miscommunicated, misunderstood there, but we don't think robotics dirts are going to be there. It's just going to wash out. And
Mike?
Yes, Tara.
Yeah, just so and Michelle can confirm this, and maybe I'm totally wrong. The way I interpreted that is that has to do with the part on top of the pipe itself versus up the sides.
That's a separate issue, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
You've got your rock on top, backfilled with dirt. Am I correct, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. So if I may finish the last point, if you look at page one of the ambient letter and task number two, this thing we were just talking about, the 3 feet of dirt at the top, the contractor makes a statement, ambient will not accept responsibility for any future potential erosion issues that may arise as a result of these changes, being 3 feet of dirt at the top. Makes sense. I mean, they see here too that if that's 3 feet of dirt, it's not going to work. So what's the solution? I'll talk about end game here. Solution is very simply on this change order, put in the R5 and R4 at the top. So when we look at it from our yard, either side, we don't see this 995
pyramid steps.
Okay.
Pyramid.
Pyramids. Well, anything but the 3 footers. So, but we get that. We get the need and we understand the engineers.
What did you put in 20 years ago? I remember you putting that extension in 20 years ago. What was that?
We had some of this giant R6 at the bottom. We had some of it right around. What CKS has had the contract to do is put our R6 in this pipe, which makes sense because it slows things down, but not the quantity that was being brought in here. R6 was on the entire, both sides around the pipe. And like I said, we looked at it that day. I can't find out what is this? So unfortunately, with these type of projects, communications can be an issue. That's a detail, obviously, that was not discussed with us. We could have avoided what I'm talking about tonight. But the solution is in front of us. We're here to problem solve. What I'm saying to you is, within this change order, we didn't request and do not want that dirt. We think it's crazy. The borough doesn't want it because you folks are going to be getting calls from us saying we lost 2 feet of dirt last night in this humongous storm. When are you going to come out and fix it? So that's something yet to be, I think, modified in the change order. And again, we did not request it. I think there is some miscommunication.
Tara, I have a couple of questions for Michelle.
Yeah.
Any of the work needing to be done on these change orders due to for work done by Ambient or them not following the plans as they were supposed to? Because a lot of this is remove and reinstall, demobilize and remobilize. So the work's been done. And so I'm just wondering if we're paying them to do it again because they did it wrong in the first place.
The answer to your first question is no.
Okay. Second question. Do you agree that everything at this stage on these change orders needs to happen, should happen, that it's the right way to move forward?
Yes, it's the right way to move forward.
Okay.
Michelle, you said that you wanted us to approve this up to...
Yes, so as I said, now that Mr. Sellers went through everything, we'd like to the sellers to be happy, right, and get what they want. So we believe that to add additional mulch, to revise the change order as Mr. Sellers wants, Mr. and Mrs. Sellers want, we believe that the change order should allow for a cost not to exceed $10,000. And then in the meantime, we can work it out with the sellers and with the contractor. And hopefully, but I can't promise, by next Tuesday, you can have a more itemized list of what that will include. But I don't want this to wait another month. So if we could get council approval to approve up to that amount, I'd appreciate it.
If I may, the word we just used, or the phrase we use, sellers request. Number one, we didn't request this. Number two, these are shared issues with the borough. As I said originally, why I'm here tonight expressing my concerns is on the basis of a shared set of issues which affect the borough and affect others. The erosion I just spoke of ultimately is going to be not our responsibility, but the borough's. And that CKS is going to stand behind a 3-foot, a designating the top 3 part at just dirt. Again, I'm not an engineer, but I stress the point that that is an enormous concern for us, that the erosion we've seen just in the past 2 weeks is going to continue into the future. And again, it will not be our problem, it will be your problem. But so it's not a request, it's a pointing to a problem that needs to be addressed beyond. Second, as far as the plants and the beds and all that, I'm glad to hear it's enough to exceed 10 because I think within that we can work. These beds are shared with us, but as much as we want to see it as a good product, it's even more important to the borough, because the borough took on this project believing that it would be minimal maintenance. As it stands now, it will not be minimum maintenance. So something's got to be created there, which fashions a bed, which fashions a way for these plants to mature without being overtaken by grasses. And that needs to be done now. Tara, in our last meeting on site, had some ideas of her own, drawing from the experience with Newtown Commons. So there are things there that can be done. And I have to tell you, when I drive around looking at stormwater facilities these days, I see mulch everywhere. So having mulch which retards growth and allows plants to survive, it seems to me something which can be brought into that design. But now is the time to do it. And again, you do not want to be hearing from us in the future about these things just growing out of control. It's a minimum maintenance project by design, but we do not yet have that design.
May I, Tara?
Yes.
So I'm late to the subject, but a couple of things are really clear to me. Number one, the borough is unbelievably fortunate to have Mr. Sellers and Mrs. Sellers be willing to work with us in terms so that we can make this improvement. It's a state mandated improvement. I don't know where or what we would do if we didn't have this property, but I know that to solve the issue by mechanical filtering would be a multiple of this number. Say we put some huge compartment in the street to do so. So the borough is extremely fortunate that we have this opportunity. That's number one. And number two, in my experience with projects such as this, it's not at all unusual that field conditions arise with respect to both solving drainage issues and with respect to solving landscaping. So we're getting off cheap compared to what some of the solutions may have been if we never would have had the opportunity to work on this property. And the issues that we're talking about here are not at all atypical of similar projects. So what I'm hearing is an extremely reasonable approach to solving what are pretty classic in the field challenges.
How do you want to structure us doing this? Do you need to approve a change order? You have a motion or a
next
resolution?
This is for next week.
Okay. Okay. So, right. So we would have a written expression to approve to spend up to $10,000. That will allow us to make appropriate design adjustments or whatever you want to use. So that's how we're going to handle this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And if I may again, you know, we would like to be included in that, especially this next step, because it's got to get done. And it's got to get done right for Earth purposes and for ours. So we didn't have an opportunity to see this change order until just a couple of days ago. We have now. The issues are on the table. We're happy to work on what modifications need to be done to get this done. But I mean, I agree with Michelle that it shouldn't go in us. We have seen erosion just in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if that riprap is not installed, we're going to just have more problems. And same with the plants. Feel free anytime to come out, look at this project as it sits today, knock on the door if you're going to have to talk to you about it. But those plants, if not addressed in a reasonable fashion with beds, are going to be nightmares for you. They're going to be unsightly for us.
Michael, who's watering the plants that are still in the pots?
We are.
Okay. We need to do this.
We are. And the reason for that is very simply that the contractor is located in South Jersey. And someone every day has to come up, so he has a drain, to water it. So we said to the contractor, and we're going to do the same with the borough when the contract is done. We'll do that. So we'll supply the water on days that are needed. We're there. We're not going to have somebody from South Jersey. We're not going to have the borough do it. We'll do that. Not a problem. But those plants have got to get in the ground, and the nine that are suggested for taking out, we're not asking for that. Leave them alone. Just put them in beds. We only have three that need to be moved at all. Put the other ones in bed, mulch them, order them, give them a chance. And hopefully the bird will not have a maintenance nightmare then a year from now. That's all we're suggesting.
All right. Mike, thank you so much for coming and sharing all your thoughts. And thank you for watering the plants as the process. So I think we have a plan, and thanks everyone. Thanks, Michelle. And then Michelle, you have the traffic signal maintenance agreement.
Right. So the last item to discuss with you tonight is we're asking council to authorize council president to sign a traffic signal maintenance agreement with PennDOT. PennDOT requires all municipalities to sign this maintenance agreement, stating that the municipality is going to repair and replace the traffic signals according to their standards. It's something that they put in motion probably about 10 years ago. And the borough has not had, I guess, in that time, any repairs or replacements done to any traffic signals. So there was no need for this maintenance agreement to be signed. With the work at Washington and Lincoln, it is required to be signed. PennDOT said that we needed to do it. So that's why we're asking for authorization to have Tara sign the maintenance agreement. And it has to be done by resolution.
Why is it limited only to Washington and Lincoln now? We have other...
It's required due to the work that we're doing at Washington and Lincoln, but it's going to be borough-wide.
Okay.
Besides that, you have my engineer's report. In case anybody has any questions, bids will be open for this year's road program at the end of this month.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Michelle. Does anybody have any questions for Michelle on the maintenance agreement?
Thank, no. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Nicole?
Thanks, Farah. So first item under our report is the Steepleview project. Just a very brief update. A conditional use application was submitted. It has been reviewed by the borough's professionals, and the applicant is continuing to work on their parking issues that are associated with the project. The second thing we have listed here is the updated draft for the alcoholic beverage ordinance. We took some feedback from council, went back and revised it to clarify a few points that were discussed last month. So now the current draft reflects that permits will be available for borough-sponsored events, borough businesses, borough nonprofits. It would apply in all public spaces, so parks, streets, sidewalks. The police department will review these applications. They'll need to be submitted 60 days in advance of an event, and they will be available for a four-hour window sometime between the hours of 11 a.m. 10 p.m. And no additional fee will be imposed based on this ordinance. It would just be the special events fee. So this updated draft was circulated, I believe, last week. And if it is in a form that council is prepared to consider for adoption, then we would ask for authorization to advertise this next week.
All right. Thanks, Nicole. Does council have any questions or comments on this updated draft?
We can still make changes while it's being advertised, right? Because I read through it really quickly just to make sure I knew, but like if I read through it again and there's a type, you know, if I put on my editor hat and there's a typo or something.
Well, was there not?
Oh, yeah, just not substantive.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'm fine with voting next week. Mm-hmm. Not that there are any titles.
Okay. All right. Emily.
Yes.
My next page is loading. I'm sorry. My deep apologies to everybody. And what do we have next?
Well, John. Yeah. Mayor.
John Mayor. All right, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Regarding special event applications, we have three that you'll be reviewing. Yeah, well, I mean they're standard. Two we've done before. The first one is the grand opening of the McFlop. That you know, you guys have the special event application for that, which will take place September 10th. And then Newtown Library 5K run for reading, done that several times. And then the Jewish Holiday Dance, Dancing the Street, the 1 hour event on October 7th. So those are the three special event applications for next week. And then just some special event reminders, Movies in the Park. We'll be reminding that Super Pets is coming next. We're a little excited about that. And Music on the Street beginning, actually, the first event, Tuesday, July 11th. So those are the things that I'll be talking to folks about. That's all I have.
Bob? Tara, I had the occasion to go to the park for the movie the other night, and I want to give credit to our police department for providing safety for that event. Well, we had talked about the event at the earlier week where parents delivered their children to the park in a large number and then left. So one thing we have to be concerned with in having large groups of children is to have adequate adult supervision in addition to having our police department for safety. So I just would like to share that with the Parks and Recs people that the volume of children of independent, non-supervised activities and running between the CBS and the park and then across the street the other way, we have to make sure we manage those children to keep them safe.
I
I don't think we can ask the rec board to be responsible for that because they're volunteers and they're working their butts off.
Yeah, it's been that way. That whole section they block off, originally they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And that was when it was chaos.
Right.
So I do think it's been very beneficial the way they handle that.
I mean, if a parent's going to let the kid go without being supervised, there's nothing they can do about
it. So you can drop them off of truck.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's just what happens.
I've been down on the shore for several weeks and kids have nothing to do. And then it seems like the groups just grow. And then the parents get all nervous and everything. So I was just concerned with the safety of children who may not be attentive to the traffic, especially at that area of the seniors. I want to thank the chief and the staff because they did a great job and they really handled the children. Interact with the children in an excellent fashion. So chief, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, do you have your agenda page back?
I do. So next, under personnel, the public will be sad to learn that Pat Hours, our treasurer since 1997, our employee since 1997, our present treasurer, has put in her resignation for November 1st. And the borough has begun looking for someone to take her place. And Pat is impossible to replace. So we need to look at the position, and council has considered that because what Pat did was not just being a treasurer, but a good portion of the type of work that a manager might do at an administrative level. So council is considering a advertising for a borough manager / treasurer, which is a common occurrence, and there are plenty of managers who are treasurers, and that's our solicitor has assured us this is a normal position. And in order to do that, we need to add an ordinance permitting the borough to have a borough manager. So this is something that council is discussing and is working on and will be on the agenda for next week. Next, I'd like to move on to the section 125 plan documents. So this has to do with the medical reimbursement and eye allowance plans, the way it is in our cafeteria plan for insurance for employees. And per our auditor, the section 125 plan documents for medical reimbursement and eye allowance plans, the auditor recommends that the borough draft and ratify section 125 plan documents for the section 125 plans for medical reimbursement and eye allowance that the borough has implemented. This is required by the Internal Revenue Service. Without a section 125 plan document, the payroll deductions are not allowed. And we'd like to allow our staff to continue to be able to do this. And it's part of the CBA with the police. I think we should follow the advice of our auditor and ratify that section document. So it's more of a paperwork thing, but it's something that we ought to have in place. And if anybody has more detailed questions, I think we can also go to Pat and ask her questions on it. She shared several supporting documents in share file. Explaining it. And if anybody has questions that we can't answer, we can also go to the auditor. Are there any questions right now? No. Okay. All right. I'm going back to the agenda. All right, next, Emily. Sorry for the delay here. JHC.
Yeah, so as liaison to JHC, I'm wanting to get y'all's feelers about possibly changing the process. I believe the ordinance, the way it's written, allows us to make this change without having to change the ordinance, but that's something once I figure out what you guys want to do, we'll get to that part. Last week, the commission, which is made up of half township, half borough, not unanimously, voted to allow a full demo of a house in the borough, not in the historic district. And because it's not in the historic district, it does not go to HARB, and therefore it could be totally torn down and the majority of council would never know it. And to me, I think that's allowing them to operate autonomously like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone here should be aware and have a say of, especially in those larger demos. So what Tara and I talked about was making JHC process be similar to HARB, where they make a recommendation and then we vote on it, as opposed to them making a recommendation and then the permit just being issued. Yeah. Right. So I'm seeing how you guys feel about looking into making that change.
Is there any input from the solicitor on that?
I haven't heard it.
Okay.
I wanted to see how you guys felt and then I'll go down that path.
My first thing is, I would, houses are being torn down. I think we in the borough, we should know that, even whether it's in the Star District or not. It's in the area where people are voting for us. We should be aware.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay. Now, Tara and I talked about this briefly last week when we met about something else. And at first I was like, full demos, but then we can't really be picky like that. Like, we should review everything just like we do for HARB. And unfortunately, since this house that was allowed to be demoed happened already, it brought up this thought process where we can't do anything about that. But or at least we decided that would be wrong. Tara and I. So, all right.
I'm just back up this little question. Someone owns a house that's not in the historic section. You're saying your council is going to be able to tell them whether or not they can tear down their house?
Well, we would review JHC's recommendation. So if JHC says yes, they can tear down their house, then council will review
but
it.
But did JHC review the historical homes only? they wouldn't review my home, but it was built 1972.
They are supposed to review any demo.
Really?
Yes. Even if someone's taking
criteria, though, if it's not in the historic district.
The JHC uses the same criteria regardless of whether or not it's in the historic district, and that's they determine whether there's anything historically significant about the home worth saving. But the other thing is, like, because it's not in the historic district, if you allow a full demo, then the borough has no control over what they build because it doesn't go to law. So that's like a second.
Well, they have control over what they build in the approval process, right? So,
yeah.
My house is 1972. If I decide tomorrow I'm taking it down and going to build a totally different design, I still have to go through the approval process and meet all the requirements that are required, right? I mean, nothing stopping them from taking it down is totally separate of, because I know there's three within the stones that have all been leveled in the last year.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. How many people on council knew that was going to happen?
Well, knowing it rather than, but not having the ability, I don't think we have the ability to tell someone they can't take their house down.
The ordinance says, Tara, do you remember the ordinance language council has?
I don't have it in front of me, but I urge everybody to take a look at the ordinance because the ordinance specifies that what council shall consider from the JHC recommendation when making decisions. The implication is in there that council makes the decision. It is clear that the JHC is a recommending body. So when something's in the historic district, then HARB takes a look at it too, and then we see it. But things outside of the historic district have so far just been going by JHC. Perhaps one time long ago they did not, and there may be other people in the room who can speak to that better than I. But right now, They're not. And sometimes it's just like a small thing, like you need to demo the roof or your back porch or, you know, shed, which something is part of a small construction. But other times somebody may be, say, changing their entire facade or taking down an entire house. And it's in the ordinance, the expectation that council is the final approval approving body. So we would be following the ordinance. So I think everybody should take a look at the ordinance, and we don't have to say today, yes, this is what we do. You know, you can think on it, get input from people. We could start with, any full tear down. But to Emily's point, if somebody doesn't know about it, you can't call them in after they've gone through the JHC meeting and they think they were done and nobody told them there was a second step the way they do in HARB, and then say, oh, wait, we want to look at it too. And that's unfair to anybody who's, say, already gone before JHC. So this would be for upcoming JHC meetings. Emily, how would you like to proceed with this?
I think if everybody here is interested in looking into it further, then I'll reach out to Nicole, Lauren, Mike, or someone. We'll point in the right direction at the solicitor's office and get their interpretation of the ordinance and see if it's even something we can do. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there's some lack of clarity in the ordinance, then that's something we might want to consider as well. Like perhaps it needs to be fleshed out a little bit to be clear. And, you know, there's certainly people who've been around for a long time and involved with the JHC ordinance who may be able to, give useful information. Okay. Emily, do you have anything else for council on this particular topic?
No.
Okay, so we'll be hearing from you. All right, on to Mary Ellen.
So the remaining vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards include the Civil Service Commission. We're looking for one member and one alternate due to the resignation of Joanne Buck. The Environmental Advisory Committee is looking for a member. The Human Relations Commission is looking for a member. The Joint Historic Commission is looking for one member. Zoning Hearing Board is looking for an alternate. We're always looking for people for parking and signs ad hoc committee. And we are looking for two members for the Walk Friendly Newtown Standing Committee.
All right. Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep. Thanks. You're welcome.
I thought somebody said something. I wasn't sure what that was. Okay. All right. I have one item under old business, which is a question for council. The single hauler trash ordinance. This is something that the pursuit of this began as a request from the EAC. They did research. At the time we had five haulers. There were concerns about the use, the wear on the roads, the pollution, the fact that you've got multiple trucks going over the same route. They advised that we go back to a single hauler, which had been the case a few decades ago. And council looked into it, ran a bunch of public meetings, gathered information. One of the things we needed to do was have an ordinance even allowing us to pursue it. So we worked with the solicitor's office on that, and that's still in draft form. And along the way, and just before I move on, we got a lot of letters and comments during public meetings, and it was about roughly 50-50 from the public, but some of the concerns from the public were also things that we thought we might be able to put into an agreement with a hauler so that we could allow, you know, smaller toters or only pick up on some days or, you know, certain things that people had concerns that they wouldn't be able to have. Since then, we now only have three haulers, not five, in the borough. So there are fewer trucks. One of the haulers has dropped one of their days. So they're only in once a week. There was an incident or a situation in a town in New Jersey, which Bob brought to us in which a town had a contract with a single hauler and they just up and dropped them. And I know that concept would make us nervous. And we also went through a lot of us losing Republic just very suddenly, and everybody had to scramble to get somebody else. So given those changes, and also given that the AC has really looked carefully at it, and a lot of prior council members have looked carefully at it, and the AC is interested for pollution reasons, how does council feel about continuing to pursue it?
I think we had a very similar discussion to this just like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, it came up, but it was not on the agenda. It sort of came up out of the side, and people threw out some things that they thought, and then Amy pointed out that a lot of work went into it, and perhaps we shouldn't just like toss it aside without consideration. So it's on the agenda today for that consideration.
I think the environmental benefits are obvious to going to a single hauler. On the other hand, what we don't know is there going to be an economic benefit to our residents if we were to do that? And there's the issue that you just mentioned with respect to the risk if you have a single hauler of exposure should that hauler fail to deliver. And then there's a third issue, which is recourse to a homeowner who's not happy with their service. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of, frankly, benefit on both sides. And I would hate to just table the thing entirely because I think there's in environmental reasons are strong. But I think there's, to me, more with the chop before we would be ready to, that I would be ready to support a move like that.
You said more work to be done or more, you said, I missed it, what you heard there. You would like more?
Yeah, I would like to look into the issues of how we could protect ourselves from the exposure of losing a single hauler from delivery, how we can provide protection to our residents, that they have recourse, should they not be getting service that they're satisfied mm-hmm. with, and also what the economic benefit to our citizens be.
Okay, those items you listed. So you'd want to see what, you'd want to answer those questions and to your satisfaction to be able to gather that information before you could really say more going forward.
That's where I'm at right today, yes.
Okay, thanks.
First, as a background to when we unofficially talked about this a couple meetings ago, I think the point where we all got to was, do we want to continue spending money with the solicitor's office to fine-tune the ordinance and all that stuff if it didn't have the support?
I'm not suggesting that we do that. I'm suggesting that there's more, to me, there's more of a learning process in the ordinance itself. Is something we would then pick back up if there was a will to move ahead.
Okay. Save with me until the next council.
The next, not meeting, the next council.
Well, are you meeting the next council?
Yeah.
Just like this is the last time we talked about it, I would really only support it if it allowed people to opt in, which kind of defeats the whole purpose. So,
and we have the other issue, which, you know, of course, Chris was not privy to any of the HOAs that also have their own trash haulers. Sure. So it may not decrease it down to one haul. Yeah, but still, I mean, in error, there might still be multiple trucks coming through on the same day, which is something that I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just
clearly, fewer truck miles, fewer trucks. Less annoyance, less wear and tear on the streets, less pollution.
To be clear, this is only residential. It does not impact the business forms and trucks at all.
But all those benefits. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what did you say?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it was clear to everyone in the public that this is only residential and does not include the business haulers.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments?
Can I just one more thing that some the gentleman, I mean, for some reason this man had a huge impact on me. I don't know, last fall came to a meeting and said he was totally against a resident. I don't recall who he was, but he was totally against it because he is elderly and he no longer has, he shares trash with his neighbor. So he does, they both split the bill and they have the trash together. And they don't each have their own bill because they don't have enough trash. And a single hauler wouldn't give people who are in that situation that option. They don't have to go. So that for some reason he made an impact on me because I need trash every week because I got a bunch of people in my house. But I think that, you know, that was an interesting take on it. What?
Yeah.
10 kids, yeah, exactly. But yes, that's fine.
All right. We haven't heard from Dennis and Bob.
Dennis said he doesn't support it.
I do not support it at all. I think every time somebody missed a trash collection, Judy's phone would be blowing off, just blowing up.
And yours.
And the mayor's in the room.
Yeah.
my major concern on a multitude of issues is the traffic within the borough limits. We have now seen the effects on the bypass with the Wegmans project. And it used to take me 8 minutes to get to my office in the Makefield Crossings area. Now it takes me over 30 minutes to get there. The township has announced its agreement with Wawa to build a facility at the end of, in the township at the intersection of Newtown Yardley Road and the bypass, which is going to add substantial traffic. And then the township has announced that it's considering permitting the construction of high-rise apartments within the industrial zone, which is going to create more traffic within the borough. And with Steepleview, we have not yet had an opportunity to speak with those people as to the expected trash hauling vehicles in that area. So we're faced with the outside sources bringing more and more traffic. But the flip side is we've seen more municipalities lose haulers for a variety of reasons, one of which is staffing. If you follow the trucks in the morning, sometimes you'll see one person handling the truck and the receptacles in place. And we don't know where that's heading. So I like Eric's approach of let's keep an eye on this, not make a decision, and keep the status quo so we see what the economic forces and the traffic flow is going to be through the world. And we thought when the bypass was built, we did not have this traffic flow. If you go out during the rush hour periods, you can't get up and down streets. So I joined there.
Chris.
I'm sorry. Why do I keep doing that?
It's okay. He still calls me Amy.
I know. Okay. I have a name problem, but I agree with you. Okay. That's where I stand, Otero.
Okay. So I'm hearing, you know, against it, for it, with caution. And various concerns, and perhaps let's not do it right now, but not permanently put it away, set it aside, and return to it when council is of the mood to return to it.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have any other old business? Does anyone have any announcements?
Tara?
Yes?
I received, probably in your mail today, you received a brochure from Remax Realtors, Renee Noel, which has a wonderful picture of Borough Hall, which was painted last summer. So it has bright colored paint and shows our flags. And I called her to compliment her on distributing a copy of our Borough Hall to the community. And if you go outside and see our flags flying, it looks excellent. And it is the oldest continuously used municipal building in the United States, and we all should be proud. So I called her and thanked her on my behalf.
All right, thanks, Bob. All right, any other announcements? Public to be heard? All right, I'm gonna pass this, the running of the public to be heard over to
Julia. Hi, thank you. I'd like to, I'll just make a few comments about the municipal water trash thing, which, as you know, I've been associated with VAC for a number of years, and this is, you are the second, possibly the third council to decide to cut this issue off and follow it to whenever the next session of council starts. The EAC has been pushing this for a long time for many reasons, and as you have heard what Tara had said about reports from our public meetings in past years in Zoom and on the and just receiving comments on the website, they said the borough residents are split at about 50% for, about 30% against, and 20% unsure. No matter how we do this, that's the way it comes up. Now, I did have a question for our solicitor, and I know that I'm supposed to be heard, but perhaps Tara or Emily, you could bounce it over. And I believe that Barbara Murley was the solicitor who's been working on this ordinance previously, was too. I know this ordinance is very, very old because it clearly predates IP code update by probably decades. And I know that I had seen the earlier drafts that it seemed like the ordinance had grown by leaps and bounds. So my question is, with the exception of adding a paragraph that permits the borough, should it so choose, to go for a single hauler, and I know we're talking about not requiring, but just creating the option, is our trash hauling ordinance significantly out of date and needs to be updated anyway? Barbara?
haven't looked at it in a while.
Okay.
And the draft ordinance that we circulated was actually based on one done in another borough, actually, in which I live, New Britain, not that long ago, within the last couple of years. So it was kind of the state of the art.
Okay.
And I think it's probably fair to assume that existing ordinance, you know, it's been on books that long, you know, may be subject to at least some updating if it's needed, if it isn't, you know, a total overhaul to use the single hauler. But I can look at that. I can't really tell you off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably 30 years old. And so,
it doesn't have to be that complicated if you're relying on people sitting there and have contracts with private haulers.
Right.
Other than,
So that was my question, because if it needs to be brought up, if there's something glaring in it that needs to be brought up today, why not in the same process throw in a paragraph that permits the borough to consider a single hauler? So I'm just making so that it would be a that's what was being proposed anyway. To give the borough the opportunity, but not saying this is how we do it. But if you already have to update it because it is grossly out of date for whatever reason, throw the same spot. But if you're saying that,
I think what you're proposing is you put that kind of language in the existing one, leave it at that, you still have another step. Because if you wanted to, council decided it would be a good idea to go to single hauler, you would need to do really, to, you know, wholly over all the ordinance in order to put in place relevant provisions
All right, thank you. Do we have any other public to be heard?
Mr. Lovey Joe.
Sarah, I couldn't hear you because of the air conditioning, but you mentioned something about cat hours. Is she retiring or resigning?
She is resigning.
When is this effective?
November 1st.
November 1st.
She will have been here 26 years.
You guys do what you want. If you guys basically have 3 months, okay, to assess this.
Okay.
Okay, if it was me, I wouldn't put anything else on the table from a customer service perspective about setting up a hauler. Okay, because that's another administrative thing to do. Okay, my question is who's on the finance committee now?
Tara, Bob, and myself.
Okay. My suggestion would be is that every month going forward, I'm going to reiterate something that Chris said, so that people say, oh, there's lots of line items and so forth. I would have a review every single month, but not just with you guys. I'm not running for office, Julie is, but there's everybody else that's running for office. It's not here. I think it's imperative. Now, if you bear with me, Chris, I'm going to start. I know Chris, he's running for office. Okay, you're here for 6 months. Okay, he's running for office. I think it's imperative that everybody step up to the plate and you guys have a monthly review so that everybody gets acclimated of what's going on. Because I will let you know something, time's running out, okay? It's imperative that you guys know what's going on, okay? I look at it differently than you guys, but that's beside the point. I think you should think of other alternatives. Hiring a manager. A manager doesn't want to cut disbursements and receipts, okay, a lot of managers. First question you have to ask yourself is this. Is Robert, is the audit on this year?
I don't have an answer.
Okay.
That's okay.
First question we all have to know is one thing. External, I'm helping you, okay? External compliance. Is the audit done? Then what is a list of all other regulatory reports? When did they do? We, just bear with me, it's my turn to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, please don't cut me off. Okay, we need to know what is our liability because Pat's leaving. Shame for us that we never asked these questions before, but I'm gonna try to help you out with this, okay? You have to also think of other alternatives, okay? I've done this for the fire company. Can we take that type of position and outsource it to an accounting firm? They then cut disbursements, checks, and so forth. Accounting firms do this stuff. You need one that does fund accounting. Then you can then get a, then you cut your costs. Then you could hire a manager to oversee the accounting firm and then do other administrative things. You got to think outside the box. You need help on this? Call me up now. I'll help you brainstorm. But if you guys think you're going to do it by yourselves and think you're going to find some person that you know who I'm the town manager and I'm going to do all this administrative stuff, Pat's been doing it for over 2 decades. I have to be honest with you. She's busy then. You have a person to come in here and figure all this stuff out. First question you have to ask is from a compliance perspective. Did we do all of our regulatory stuff? When is it due? Is it done? Now, all of a sudden, starting November 1st, are we going to be able to disperse checks? I have to be honest with you. For me, a hauler, it is true. It's been going on for years. The only thing that concerns me about a hauler is one thing. I'm into cost. It's garbage. Okay. But the funny thing was is this. I had Republic. Then I switched to Whitetail. The cost for Republic just bailed out. These guys are so independent. They bail out. That's what scares me. My thought is we need to focus on, do we know what our treasurer is doing from a liability perspective, from compliance, for regulatory purposes first? Then what are the operation reports? The only thing I can say is this, you cannot wait quarterly because you do this quarterly, and now we're into the budget. You guys have to get acclimated of what's going on with the numbers now. And Chris, the only thing I can say is this. I gave a presentation last year, okay? Before you get into those thousands of line items, those are noise.
400.
Excuse me?
400.
400. Well, it is 400. That is, there's a couple of line items that makes up 80% of the income statement. The largest number on the income statement, which no one ever asks for, is cash on reserve. Is the cash there or not? That should come right off the bank statements. The next largest budget is the police budget. Okay, At the end of the day, I did this. If you want me to show you analytically this stuff, because you have to get there with me. You have to get acclimated analytically that you've got, I really know what 85% is. If there's 400 numbers and this is 10%, 20%, is this noise or not noise? And what is this? Does that make sense? It's an analytical way to look at it, that you go, oh my God. But whatever the case may be, you need help, call me up, because I look at this totally different than you guys.
I was gonna say, I think if I remember correctly, Judy took pictures of your presentation sheets from last year, and I think they're on our share.
They are.
I can go over it again. It's imperative. Four members are leaving. Okay, so Dennis is out, Tara's out, Bob is out. You could be in or out. You follow me? So my attitude is that the rest of these members that are running all have to get acclimated, because truthfully, it's their budget. Okay? And I'm going to ask questions this year. I know you guys keep on cutting me off every time, but I'm going to ask the questions. They're good questions. But whatever. The first question you have to ask is this. Okay? Is the audit done? And what are the other lists of all the other regulatory reports? When is their due date? And where do we stand? Regulatory issues, this is what closes doors down. Okay, but enough said.
Thank you.
Sarah, may I respond? All of our
We're gonna see, is there any other public to be heard? No. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Do you want to say something?
We're at
the agenda. We're at the agenda.
To be heard.
We're
about to adjourn.
Did you? Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know. You can see me on my
camera. Was there a topic? Yeah. I wanted to inquire about the
three rows
of the trash.
Sorry. We beat it up.
Essentially,
half of part of council is against it. Part of it is cautiously into looking forward, but there's no consensus one way or the other.
Well, I'll just briefly restate what I've seen before, and I'm a proponent of giving us the option. That's it.
Thank you. That's
a concern I brought up as well.
For a variety of reasons, which I will rehash, I've done that once before.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Just a question, Tara. I don't know if you can do this. Can you put it on the referendum for voting this year? Okay. And can you put it on the voting and let the people then vote, whoever votes? Do you want this or do you want that? Now it kills the what ifs and so forth. Whoever votes.
I believe we asked that before and we're told, the solicitor told us no. There's a narrow range of things that can be on a referendum, and that's not one of them.
Okay, so there you
go. I'm pretty sure we asked.
All right, whatever.
I think that's it for public to be heard, right?
Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those
in favor? Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks. Enjoy the cake.
Thanks. Bye bye.
See you
later. I can go all the way around.